Healy, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Coming up in September, we have the Elgin Fringe Festival, the virtual edition for 2020. For last year's Fringe Festival, director Thomas Newman brought Shakespeare's Hamlet to life for the Elgin Theater Company. This year, Thomas is creating a video tribute to Shakespeare's best works that's titled Bitch from the Bard, and he's here to talk about it. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Hi.
Now, first off, let's reflect just briefly on your highly heralded production of Hamlet last year. Hamlet can be a three-hour play, but you had to cut it down to, was it an hour?
It turned out in the end to be 45 minutes.
45 minutes. So what was the process of adapting a masterpiece like that down to 45 minutes?
Well, I mean, realistically, I think it was just finding the most iconic scenes because, you know, I am not one who will disagree that Shakespeare is somewhat bloated in places. You know, oftentimes we forget that Hamlet was kidnapped by pirates, and that isn't even a secondary plot point. That's just a, hi, I was kidnapped by pirates, and we're off. So it's kind of like looking for those points where it was like, oh, you know, we don't need that, and then focusing in on, we really wanted to focus on the family dynamics of it, so it was really looking for those chunks that really focused on the story we were trying to tell, and then from there it was just a matter of how long do we have. I know originally when we started running it, it was about an hour and 15 minutes, so we then had to go back and say, okay, let's find some more to cut. So I think we were working on the script up until the week before we performed it.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what did you learn from the process?
I think that Shakespeare can be accessible but also entertaining, because I think so many people now are often in the school of no one wants to come see Shakespeare, which couldn't have been more true. The audiences were really receptive, and we had great audiences for all the shows. So I think it if anything, made me more aware that Shakespeare needs to be done more, because there is a thirst for it in the community.
Amen. Amen. Now, I love Shakespeare, and it's, as you said, it's not done enough. So I'm thrilled that you're doing this tribute to Shakespeare again. Can you tell us what is Bits from the Bard?
Well, really, it's I just went through all of Shakespeare's work and found some of the greater monologues that he's written and kind of combined them together. So, you know, we open with the classic Richard III, Now is the Winter of Our Discontent, close with Puck's If We Shadows Have Offended, but then in the middle we have Henry V's iconic battle speech. We have the death scene from Henry IV and Juliet's monologue from Romeo and Juliet. We have a Helena monologue from Midsummer Night's Dream, and gosh, what else? I'm forgetting something, but we have one from Two Gentlemen in Verona.
Okay. And how did you choose the specific monologues that you're using in the video?
Well, for me, selfishly, I was just like, ooh, what do I want to hear people do? Because, we also have one from Julius Caesar, which really just, I kind of just looked through and was like, well, I tried to best balance it so it wasn't just, let's do some dramatic Shakespeare and just have it at that. You know, I worked in some comedies, I worked in some histories, and it was really just looking through the broad swath of Shakespeare and finding a great array of his beautiful writing for people to hear.
Now, you have a number of very talented performers in this video that you're working on. And can you tell me a little bit about each individual performer and what monologue they're going to be performing?
Yes. Well, so Jamie Ewing, who phenomenally played Colonel Jessup in Town Square Players' final production of A Few Good Men, is our Richard III. And then Catherine Damish is our Helena, and she's, you know, she's been everywhere. She and I worked together first with She Loves Me at the Rouse Center, then she's been Mary Poppins in Town Square Players, Mary Poppins, and has just been killing it in the scene. We have Greg Walden, who was also in A Few Good Men, doing Mark Antony from Julius Caesar, myself doing Puck from Midsummer Night's Dream, Bridget Belcastor, who was also in A Few Good Men, and our Hamlet, as Adriana from Two Gentlemen in Verona, William Peterson from A Few Good Men and Hamlet, doing King Henry IV, Vinny Prisco, who was in my Christmas Carol as Jacob Marley, then in Theater 121's Matilda as Mr. Wormwood, is Henry V, and Anna Hajdari is our Juliet, who was also in A Few Good Men and Hamlet, and don't think I'm leaving anyone out. If I am, I apologize.
Well, it sounds like a great cast. How did you go about choosing the specific monologues that you used?
Well, so really, we've actually, most everyone who's in this, we've been doing Zoom readings and everything, and we did some Shakespeare and the like. So it was really just, once they said, yes, I'll do it, it was kind of, if I could cast you in any Shakespeare role, what would it be? And then from there, it was, okay, where do I go from this role? I mean, certain ones, if you think of Richard III, you have to do the opening monologue. So, but then others, it was kind of like, ooh, let me find an interesting bit from Henry IV, because being a lesser done set of shows, there's a lot of text that people aren't necessarily that familiar with in that. So I think looking at the lesser known shows was a lot more fun, because I was able to pull out some great text that many people haven't heard quite often.
And what, just by curiosity, what is your favorite Shakespeare play?
Oh gosh, why are you doing this to me? It's difficult for me to say, just because I have so many different opinions. I mean, if I had to pick, I'd be pretentious and split it up with Midsummer Night's Dream is my favorite comedy. Histories, I'd go with probably Richard II, just because that's like my number one Shakespeare dream role. So
Okay. Selfishly,
that's my favorite. And tragedy, King Lear, hands down.
And what gave you the idea for Bits from the Bard?
Well, actually, I have to give credit where credit is due. Madeline Franklin came up with the idea, because before COVID happened, we were actually going to do I had readapted Taming of the Shrew with a little twist at the end that I won't reveal, because we're eventually going to get to doing it.
Ooh.
But then when all this happened, we obviously knew it wasn't safe to get about 7 people together and put on a full show. So she said, well, what would you think about doing monologues? And then from there, it just kind of ballooned into what we have now.
And now, are the actors in period costumes, or are they more reflective of a modern era?
It's definitely more reflective of a modern era. I think that part of making Shakespeare accessible, in my opinion, is bringing it to a more modern era, not necessarily setting, but just a more modern intonation, modern emotion, really, because if you look back at the historical aspects, Shakespeare could be very stuffy. I mean, they wouldn't even kiss in the shows, because that was seen as too much. So I think that bringing it into a modern viewpoint helps make it more accessible, especially with the weighty text. If you use certain emotions that people can connect with, then it's like, oh, I know more of what you're saying because I know what emotion you're saying it with.
Okay. Now, did you have to adapt the monologues yourself to make it a cohesive vision altogether?
Yes, definitely some. I know there were, I want to say, well, definitely the two I know of, Richard III and Mark Antony, I kind of combined two sets, really, because with Richard III, you have an opening chunk in the first scene and a final chunk in the first scene that, to me, just work beautifully together because it's this long, villainous, here's what I'm going to do monologue when it comes down to it. So I kind of worked those two in together. And then with the Mark Antony monologue, it's very difficult because there's a giant scene in between his two where it opens with him finding Caesar's dead body and then ends with him saying, I curse all those who have murdered Caesar. Cry havoc and release the dogs of war. So it was really finding more with our actor the breaks in it where we could feasibly connect those two emotionally, which worked out extremely well. I mean, I cannot talk enough about how amazing these actors are. It was just, I always jokingly said, you guys need to stop being so good because I, as a director, can't give you anything.
You are listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today we're being joined by Thomas Newman, who is directing the video Bits from the Bard for the Elgin Fringe Festival, running virtually from September 4th through October 4th. For information on the Elgin Fringe Festival, go to elginfringefestival.com. Now, Thomas, is it scary adapting The Bard?
I think at times, yes, but I just find it really fun because I also think it's, you know, I'm horrible at math, but this is really what works my brain. You know, you have people who would say that math is scary. And then there are other people who say, well, no, I love it because it works my brain. I think that adapting Shakespeare almost is like my mental exercise. I love just digging into it, really. So, I mean, all my friends will know. They're like, oh, would you ever want to do Shakespeare? And I'm like, yes, which one, what theme that I have come up with, and which adaptation would you like? So it's literally, if I have insomnia, I just pick a Shakespeare show, and I'm like, okay, what can I do differently now? So I think at first Hamlet was daunting, definitely, but then getting into it, it just became really enjoyable because you get to play around with some of the best writing ever written. So then it just becomes an enjoyable exercise in theater.
Now, many people are intimidated by Shakespeare. Why do you think that is?
I think mostly because either of the length, which, again, he can be very lengthy. Hamlet, I think, at its longest can be 4.5 hours. So, and then also the text at times can be very inaccessible and difficult to understand. But I think that with the right research and direction and really just discussions, you can make it very accessible, especially if you start with easier to understand shows. I always say if someone wants to get into Shakespeare, start with Midsummer Night's Dream, because even though some of the soliloquies and the text might be difficult to understand, it's a very simple plot that can really get you acclimated to Shakespeare text. And then you can go into the more difficult to understand King Lear's and all that. Like, I think that, you know, I even say, I tried to start Shakespeare with Hamlet and couldn't get through it, funnily enough. But then I went back and did Romeo and Juliet and Midsummer and then was off from there.
And now, where are you doing the filming for this?
We are actually doing it at a church in Elgin in the basement. And we have some great people filming it where we've put some projections behind our actors. So it's actually kind of sort of a green screen element, but they were able to just perform in front of it. And from just the pictures I've taken and from what everyone's seen, it looks so good. And it's just for the kind of speediness with which we had to do it, it looks amazing.
And have you directed video before, or is this a first undertaking?
I have not. So this was an interesting exercise for everyone involved. I think that for me, this was a great way to start it, just because it's more simple when you're doing monologues that are traditionally done dead to the audience than, you know, doing a full sequence of scenes that you have to be focusing on different things. And so I think it was good for me personally to start understanding better how camera work works and how to get people in the right lighting and find the right setting and just all the things that actually go into filming.
And what was the biggest challenge?
I think mostly just not being able to rehearse in person, to be quite frank, because so I'm a director that doesn't like to sit down. I love to be able to get up and show people, you know, different things and, well, what if you tried this? What if you did this? So I think that the barrier of Zoom and calling through Facebook has been a challenge just because, you know, even with the actors, you can't necessarily get up and do stuff because then you're out of view from your computer camera. So,
what
really
do you do?
It then became, once they were in for their hour of filming, we had to basically re-rehearse everything to get them physically there as well as emotionally there.
Okay. And what tricks did you do to make that happen?
I think, number one, I relied on my actors because, once again, they're phenomenal. But then for the physicality of it, it's very much just figuring out who you're talking to, and not necessarily, I had said from the start, I don't want it just to be, I stare at the camera and talk to camera, because then we get into stuffy Shakespeare territory. So it was very much, well, if you're saying this, you might necessarily be talking to yourself, so make it more of an introspective look up, or if you're talking to a person, look off camera. And so it was really helping them find a relationship with the camera that wasn't just, I stand and I stare directly at the camera.
And how will people be able to view this video?
Well, so from what I have been told, you will purchase tickets on the Elgin Fringe Festival website, and then it will be a video that through some link or magical fairy that will deliver it to you, you will then be able to watch it, and I think it will just be available through the whole month, and you can play it at your leisure or something of that sort. I'm not the best versed in online theater yet, so I can't necessarily best describe it, but there will be some form of ticket purchase, and then you will be able to watch it.
And people would go to ElginFringeFestival.com for details.
Yes.
Okay. And now, how big was your film crew?
It was three people. Myself, a kind of director of photography and lighting designer, and then a cameraman and the actor performing.
And are you doing the editing yourself, or do you have assistance with that?
I am not. We actually, Tom Letourneau was the guy who filmed, and he has been working on the backdrops. He is editing it right now. And so it's kind of been, it's been great because even with us being physically apart, it's a great team that has been able to work and call and just get everything across to where once we were done filming, I was comfortable just saying, you do your job because I know you'll kill it.
Right. Now, you did mention that one of the biggest challenges was rehearsing without being in the same room with your actors. What did you learn in the process?
I think I learned more how to direct vocally better. I think just for me, it's always been a challenge because sometimes I have so many ideas in my head that they kind of get jumbled up and it's just better to do it physically for me. But with this, I really had to only use my words and really go at it from a verbal perspective. So I think it's really helped me better vocalize and verbally tell actors what I see, how I see things, what I'd like them to do, and help me grow in that perspective, really.
What's the key to doing Shakespeare correctly?
I think, if anything, reading the show and reading the show, I will not say that I understand it perfectly. I definitely look at No Fear Shakespeare and many other translations of Shakespeare. I think that people shouldn't be afraid to say they don't understand it. I think that's where a lot of the block comes from with Shakespeare, that, oh, well, people don't understand it, and that's what's scary. But there are definitely enough academic websites and literally Know Your Shakespeare with every Shakespeare that you can look at it and find the text. I know for Hamlet and for this, I had each thing, scene, monologue, what it be it, translated directly from Elizabethan text to a more modern text, so it was easier to understand the emotion and the drive and everything, so better to direct it.
Now, I found that I gained the most insight into Shakespeare by watching Kenneth Branagh films. He makes me understand the meaning behind each line. And that led me to reading and performing Shakespeare and getting real joy out of it. How would you introduce someone to Shakespeare who has no background with it?
I think there's actually, and this, I think, goes, wow, I think it was in the 70s, 80s, the BBC actually did filmed adaptations of every single Shakespeare show, and there are these great adaptations with amazing actors. Derek Jacobi doing Hamlet, literally with, I think it was with Patrick Stewart doing Claudius again.
Oh, wow.
It's just, they have the entire series of Shakespeare shows done, and it's a great introduction into that. You know, you have Alan Rickman doing Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet. You have many great British actors, and it's very, it's easier, I think, to see Shakespeare first and then read it, because once again, you get to see the emotions happening and not necessarily get bogged down with, oh wow, there's a 2-page soliloquy coming up. I need to really get my brain going. If you're watching it, you can just sit back and enjoy instead of having to break down the words, because if you're watching it, it's been broken down by the actor, by the director, by everyone, so as to make you better understand it.
And really quickly, if you have the chance to do a live play again next year, do you have any ideas of what you'd like to bring to the stage?
Oh, gosh. I think, you know, a bunch of us have just always been talking about it. We've had a lot of fun doing online readings, and we have, I mean, I'm not joking when I say we probably could have 5 full theater seasons of shows, but if anything, I'd definitely say the Taming of the Shrew that I've secretly twisted in a way that not many people know about is definitely on the top of the list, just because while it is Shakespeare's most sexist and harsh shows, especially towards women, I've always thought it was, well, one of his better written shows, but kind of intimidating just because of the inherent sexism in the Taming of the Shrew, literally. So I think that's definitely something I'm excited to get to work on and recreate in a way.
All right. Well, you've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, we've been chatting with Shakespearean director Thomas Newman and his video movie Bits from the Bard that he is creating for the Elgin Fringe Festival, which runs September 4th through October 4th. For information, visit elginfringefestival.com. And Thomas, do you have any final words for our audience today?
I think, you know, please, please, please come and watch it, because it's been a labor of love for everyone involved, and you will definitely be able to just relax and enjoy some great, great Shakespeare, great Shakespearean actors for about 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
And again, that is the Elgin Fringe Festival, running September 4th through October 4th. For information, visit elginfringefestival.com. Thank you, Thomas. It's been a joy having you on the program, and I look forward to viewing Bits from the Bard and seeing your work come to life. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks, Thomas. Bye-bye.
Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?